You are listening to the always exciting Victory Church podcast, a daily source of inspiration, encouragement, and accelerated spiritual growth. We're here to help you maximize your life in minimal time. So get ready and let's dive into today's message.
You know what, y'all? That's what Christianity is all about right there. Can we give God praise that the word is working and people are acting on it? And that was a huge thing to that individual who got that call. So let's do stuff like that. If you have a Bible, I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I want to read this passage of Scripture to you as we get into what God has for us today. Here's what it says. It says, "For I received from the Lord," this is the Apostle Paul talking, "that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my," what? "Body, which is broken for," who? "You. Do this in remembrance of me." Jesus is saying, don't forget what I'm about to do for you. Verse 25, "In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Again, same thing. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Don't forget what I'm about to do for you." He says in verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And so today I want to talk to you about the simple truth that communion makes a difference. Now, many of us have come from different backgrounds. Maybe you weren't raised in church at all, or maybe you were raised in a church, but some other denomination, and it didn't really look like this. But all of us come from different places. And communion goes by several names: the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper. It is a sacrament of the church. Communion and water baptism, something Jesus asked us to do. It is holy. It is important. It is one of the most important things we ever do. But I remember for me growing up, I dreaded Communion Sunday because it always seemed like this sad time. It always seemed like it was just kind of a ritual. And I want you to understand today that everything Jesus asked us to do is a place that will release his power into our lives if we will tap into it by faith. Jesus was not into dead, lifeless rituals and routines. Can somebody say amen? We're not just punching our time clock when we walked in the door this morning, are we? Thank you for all eight of you. We're not just punching the time clock. Amen. Your bulletin is not going to get validated so you get to go to heaven. It'd be nice if it worked that way. But communion is one of the most important things we're ever going to do, because communion is the time we take to remember what Jesus did for us that makes all this possible. And so this is something that he specifically asked every one of us to do. He asked us to do it often. Actually, in Acts chapter 2, the first century church did it all the time. And I'm going to show you how powerful it is today, because one of the things it does is it reminds us of what Jesus did for us. It's something we can never forget. It's something that I want to make sure I take time every single day to thank him for the cross. And it was important to Jesus that we would never forget what it cost him to give us salvation. Communion reminds us that we are loved by him. Come on, somebody say, "I am loved by God." It reminds us of how valuable we are to him. Somebody look at your neighbor and tell them, "Your life matters." Okay? It increases our gratitude. That's important. It eliminates entitlement. It eliminates that entitlement that people, so many people live with today, that you owe me. God doesn't owe us anything. We owe him everything. It brings our focus back to the main thing in life, and that's Jesus Christ. Jesus is the main thing. Life proceeds from that relationship with him. Jesus is an addition to life. Jesus is my life. And it's one of the greatest ways, as Marcia said today, we can draw near to God. It's actually one of the greatest ways we can tap into God's power and his promises. And Jesus used a really simple meal to remind us. It's not complex. There's just two components. It's got grape juice and bread. Last Thursday night, we went to Pastor Aheen and Rochelle, their home. He's from India, and he pastors Arnett Community Church. They've been preaching the same message with us and been going along with us now for about 14 months. And I'll tell you, God's doing amazing things in that little town. They had 61 people 3 weeks ago, 71 people 2 weeks ago, and 60-some last week, with three people rededicate their life to Jesus. God is moving in that little town because the word works. And so let me just say that the message of victory doesn't belong to just us. It belongs to everybody, because it's not our message. It's his message. Amen? That's why I don't come to tell you cute stories. I come to talk to you about God's story. And when his story becomes our story, amen, then we live the life he called us to live. And so it's just so powerful. But we went to their house, and they're from India, and the food is so complex. I mean, it was incredible. I was like, it was a culinary adventure. I was like, you know, Disneyland in my mouth. I was having a ton of fun. But communion's not like that. It's super simple. It's just two really, really basic things. Bread that's unleavened and juice, grape juice. And he gave us those two things that we can hold them in our hand. We can taste them, we can touch them, we can smell them, we can see them. Why would he do that? Very simply because he used something tangible to represent that which is intangible. He gave us something visible to represent the invisible. He gave us something symbolic to represent a substance. He gave us something we could touch so that we could have a moment to release our faith in what he did for us at the cross of Calvary. We call that a point of contact. Point of contact. I want everybody to say that word, point of contact. Let's say it again, point of contact. A point of contact is something I can touch at a specific place and time that helps me release my faith in God, and then I see him move in my life. And I want to look at some examples of point of contacts in the Bible, because it's something we see over and over and over. And one of the most famous ones is Mark chapter 5, verse 21. If you want to flip there in your Bible or go there on your Victory Now app. Mark chapter 5, verse 21. And it's a woman who had been sick for 12 years. And here's what happens. Now, when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of his rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed, and she will live." Verse 24. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Verse 25. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Somebody say she got worse. Verse 27, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garments, for she said, there's that inner conversation we talked about. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. She said, "If only I may touch his clothes." Everybody say clothes. "If only I may touch his clothes." Luke says, "The hem of his garment, I shall be made well." She's making a declaration. If only I can touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to get better. Verse 29. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up. When she grabbed hold of Jesus' garment, she was healed. She felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Verse 31. But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your what? Your faith has made you well." Your what? Your faith. Whose faith? Jesus's faith? No, it was her faith. Her faith has made you well. "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Now, here's what you've got to understand. Jesus would have been wearing a prayer shawl. And off the corners of that prayer shawl that the Jewish men wore were tassels hanging from each of the four corners according to what God had commanded them to do in the Old Testament. And each of those tassels had five knots. They were made up of eight strands, and they represented the word of God. They represented the promises of God. So when this woman pressed in, Missy, and she reached out to touch Jesus's hem, it wasn't the top of his socks that was cutting into his calf. Y'all ever had that happen when you pull your socks off and it still looks like you got a sock ring on? Oh, I guess I'm the only one. Marcia laughs at me every time. Looked like I had a tourniquet on. Anyway, she's not reaching for that ring, okay? That's my point to you. She's reaching for one of those tassels that represented the word of God. Why? It was a point of contact, Steve. It was a place where she knew if she could grab hold of it, it represented the promises of God. And she knew that what God promised, he would do. Because Malachi said that the Son of Righteousness would come with healing in his wings. The word wings is not wings like flapping. The word wings wings is the same word for those tassels. He would have healing in those tassels. She was acting on the promise of God. There's nothing about that wool that could have healed her. There was nothing special about the wool. It's not a lucky rabbit's foot, but she reached out and she knew that if I can grab that which it represents, then there will be a release of power from Jesus inside of me and it will make me completely well. And that's what happened. She said a moment in time when she came into contact with something physical, something she could see, something she could touch, something she could have smelled, something in front of her, that when she touched it, it would release the things that she couldn't see into her life. And that's exactly what happened. And she tapped into the supernatural and it released God's healing power on the inside of her. Can I tell you today, Jesus still wants to touch you and you can reach out by faith and grab hold of God and tap into his power. I don't care what you're going through today. Can somebody give God praise that the word of God is true? When she got there and she did what she set her heart on, it released faith in her. And at that moment, she grabbed hold of something tangible to receive that which was intangible. I want to show you another example of this. If you want to go to John chapter 9, verse 1, and it's a blind man. And here's what it says. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Rabbi, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins? Verse 3, see, a lot of times we think people are sick because of sin. And although that can happen, that's not always the case. Can you say amen? Verse 3, it was not because of his sins or his parents' sins, Jesus answered. This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. Verse 6, then he, or Jesus, spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. He told him, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. Siloam means sent. What does Siloam mean? Sent. We've all been sent by God. So the man went and washed and came back what? He came back healed. Now, y'all know you would absolutely freak out today if we had a healing line and I went. Come on over here. You want some of this? Right? Some of y'all. You would be freaked out. But sometimes it's hard to handle the things that come out of the mouth of God. Hello? America needs to hear that. America needs to hear. We need to hear. We need to wake up, church, and understand you got to be able to receive the good things and the difficult things to hear that come from the mouth of God, because that's when healing comes in your life. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But Jesus spits in the mud and then he takes it and he rubs it on this blind man's eyes. It was something he could feel. It's something he probably could have smelled. I hope Jesus was chewing gum that day and not tobacco. Some of y'all are like, wait a minute, wait, what? Jesus chewed tobacco. He rubbed it on his eyes. He could see it. He could feel it. He couldn't see it. He could feel it. He could smell it. It was something that was touching him. It was something tangible. There was something about what he had done that caused faith to rise in the man's heart. But here's the reality. There was nothing special about that mud. There wasn't even anything special about the spit. Jesus was a man just like us. The Bible says that. I said, Jesus was a man just like us. His spit was just like yours. His spit didn't necessarily have the anointing in it. It was just spit. But there was something that released when it happened. And God gives us ways to connect our faith with something visible to receive that which is invisible. And we've got to be able to grab a hold of that. There was a point of contact in the natural to receive something supernatural. And when the natural meets the supernatural, then things begin to happen. We serve a supernatural God. This is a supernatural book. He is still a God of miracles. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That book is packed full of miracles, and we ought to see miracles every single week we're together. We ought to live miraculous lives. Can somebody say amen today? There is nothing impossible for those who believe. But God moves in that situation, and it produces a change that brought this man's life back into the perfect will and blessing of God. Is blindness the will of God in heaven? Well, what did Jesus ask us to pray? Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so it happens. I think of another one when it comes to point of contact, anointing with oil. It's something we do regularly. There's vials of olive oil setting down here on the front of the platform. And this is something we practice. If people are sick and they call for the elders of the church and they ask to be anointed with oil, it's something we gladly do. The Bible says this in James chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. It's a common practice throughout the New Testament. And it says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, the leaders in the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil, it's just olive oil, in the name of the Lord. That's where the power is. Verse 15, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. At Victory Church, it's something we practice. We pray for people every single week. We anoint people with oil. Why? Because we believe the word works when we follow the recipe. So there's something important for you to know, that if you're sick in your body, you need to come forward and ask for prayer. There is nothing special about that olive oil. There is no healing quality to it on its own other than what it just contains by itself. But it's just ordinary olive oil. It's what the olive oil represents that is powerful. It always, in the scripture, represents the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one God sent. Remember what Jesus said. He said, I'm not going to leave you by yourself. He said, it's better that I go away, because if I go, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, Chris. And when he comes, he's going to be just like me. Just like Jesus healed, just like Jesus delivered, just like Jesus touched people's lives. The Holy Spirit is here to bring those same things to pass in us and through us and for us. Can somebody give God praise for the Holy Spirit today? I think of laying on of hands. It's another one that is common in the Bible. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This is the Great Commission. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. Are there any believers in the house today? Okay, this is who he's talking to. Come on, are there any believers in that? If you can't say it in here, you can't say it out there. All right, that's a little better. He said, in my name, they'll cast out demons. We have authority over the devil. They'll speak with new tongues. Thank God for that heavenly prayer language every day. The devil can't understand it. It ticks him off. That's why he don't want you doing it. Verse 18, they'll take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. That does not mean going to the pet store and grab a hold of the rattlesnake and say, look, y'all. Famous last words of a redneck. Hey, y'all, watch this. It means God provides divine protection so that you can fulfill your purpose like Jesus did, and the devil can't kill you before your time. Amen? But the last thing it says is they'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And so God knew how touch-oriented we would be, John. He knew that we needed something to touch. We always throw poor Thomas under the bus for lacking faith, and because he needed to touch Jesus. He said, I'm not going to believe it, Brother John, until he said, I'm going to touch the nail prints in his hands or the scar in his side. But you know what? Jesus gave Thomas what he needed, and we should be here to give people what they need so that they can believe in the Lord. We got to be able to give them those kind of handles so that they can touch Jesus. And so it's important for us to grab a hold of that because we are touch-oriented. There was a specific moment in time and a place where Thomas believed. And that's what point of contact is all about. Whether it's anointing with oil, whether it's laying hands on people, whether it's me hawking a loogie and spitting it in your eye. My point is, all of these things, whether it's you reaching out and touching a hold of Jesus and praying something by faith, all of these things give us a place in time when we can look back to and say, it was at that moment I released my faith and believed God to meet my need. I received my healing. I received my deliverance. I received my victory. I received whatever it was on this date and on this time. And that's powerful. And so this is something we have used for years, actually, from the beginning. We call them expectation cards. Somebody say expectation card. And they're available to you. If you don't have one for this year, they're in the seat backs in front of you. They're out at the info desk. And we use one of these regularly. And what we do is we take it, and when we're believing God for something in our life, or we need something, we've asked God for something, we write it down on this card. And I've used this for years, and it's so powerful because it works. And the Bible says in Mark chapter 11, verse 24, and this is the premise it works off of, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and then you'll have them. He didn't say wait till it shows up. He said when you ask for it. So that means when I ask for something, I write down the date and time I received it by faith, and then God writes down the date and time it's going to show up as a fact. Okay? And so I step out and I start believing God for it. And I thank God once I've asked him for that. And so when we ask for something, we write it down. We put the date and the time on it that we received by faith. And then what we do is every day after that, we hold it before God and we say, Father, thank you that whatever that is mine. Thank you that it's done. Thank you that it's on the way. Thank you that you're working on it. And the reason why we thank him instead of asking him again is because when you ask for something over and over and over and over, that makes you a beggar. And we're not beggars, we're believers. Hello. I said, we're not beggars, we're believers. Come on, somebody say, I'm not a beggar. Say, I'm a believer. And a believer, come on, say, a believer is a receiver in Jesus' name. See, we thank him that it's already done. And it's no longer a matter now of if, it's just a matter of when. That expectation card gives me something tangible in my hand that I can hang on to. And it represents what I'm believing God for, and I'm looking for it every day to show up. It is a point of contact where I can release my faith daily in God for meeting that need. And it helps us to see what we're believing God for as if it's in our possession. Just like we're holding the deed to a property or the title to a car. I want to tell you right now, God used this principle two decades ago teaching me. He speaks your language, and my language was cars. And he helped me with one miraculous thing after another with building cars and selling cars. And I watched God show up. And I took those principles and I used those same principles when we started Victory Church. Every person sitting in this room today started on a card. Believing God for you. We started with 22. Today we're well over 1,000. Amen? This works. Every salvation, everything we needed. When we built this building, we were 200 and some thousand dollars short. Went right back to this. Wrote a list. Matter of fact, I came across it the other day, Woody. I itemized everything we needed. I'd hold it up. Father, I thank you that it's done. When it came to me believing God for a wife, I wrote it down. Father, I thank you for a wife. And I filled in the blanks with what kind of wife I wanted. I had no idea I'd get one as good as Marcia. God was so much better than me than I deserved. Amen. Come on. Y'all can give God praise for Marcia. Couldn't have a baby for 7 years. Believe God, believe God, believe God. Wrote it down. Every day I'd hold it up before him. Father, I thank you for a baby. I thank you that Marsha's womb is a place of hospitality and not hostility. I thank you, God, today that our bodies function perfectly. I just praise you, God, today for that baby. I thank you for him right now in the name of Jesus. And sure enough, Zoe showed up. Zoe, would you stand up for everybody? Amen. She's living proof that God's word works. I could go on and on, but my point to you today is sometimes people look at me and they say, well, yeah, you're the pastor. You're qualified somehow. Stuff works for you that don't work for me. No. I want you to see this today. Anna, would you come up here with me? Anna is my oldest, for those of you who don't know. She's 14 years old, and Anna has used this principle now for several years. Well, she looked pretty. She's all grown up on daddy. And so, Anna, do me a favor. Tell us, what are some of the things that you've seen God provide in your life through using expectation, like an expectation card?
I received a horse trailer. I received a horse. I received healing in people's bodies. I received a saddle. I received a showmanship outfit. I received a showmanship halter.
Pause right there. So what is her language? Horses. See, God speaks your language. He will start with something you know. Amen? Yeah, hear what I'm talking about. He starts with something you know, because then it moves to something else. Because what did you say in there? People's healings. You believe for people's healings. See, God starts speaking your language, and then you started using it to benefit others. And when she says a trailer or a saddle and this kind of stuff, she's not talking about, something cheap. She's talking about she believed God stepped out on her own and needed God to show up for her to have this kind of stuff, and God provided in an amazing way. Amen? Isn't that awesome? She's 14 years old. So this worked for you?
Yes.
Okay, tell us how you did it. How did it work?
So when I needed something, I would ask God for it, and I would take my notebook out, which I use this, and I would write down the date and the time and the month, and I would go, I received what I wanted. And so I would, from there, thank God every day that I received it. Now, I wouldn't go out and say, I don't think I'm going to get it. And I'm going to go back home and say, I'm going to get it. I had to be 100% all the way. And so when I received what I was asking for, I wrote it down in my book so I could look back and be like, wow, that took a month? Wow. And then I can use that not to win, but I can use it to show and be a witness that prayer works, that all my equipment I have is an example of it works.
You hear what she just said? It's not about the stuff. It's about using the stuff to tell her story that Jesus loves her and he loves them too. I love what you just said. You said you thank God every day that it's that you've got it. And then whenever it shows up, then you write down. You not only wrote down the day you prayed for it and asked for it, but then you write down the day it actually came. And there was one this morning we were talking about your saddle. How long did you believe God for a saddle and thank him every day?
A year. 12 months.
12 months. Didn't give up. Kept thanking God. And it showed up. Man, that's determination. Now, if a 14-year-old can do that, come on, adults. We can do that too. Hello? Hang on. So this is your binder you use.
Yeah.
And I think something else cool you did was you went and got on the internet and made some pictures that you hung on your wall of things that you were believing God for right in front of your bed. And you would look at them, right?
Every night.
Every night. Mm-hmm. And you would thank God for those things. So that was a point of contact for you. Tell us about one of the times when you were down and discouraged and how this worked for you.
I had a big horse show. It was the last horse show of the year. And I went out and practiced the night before. And I did horrible. My horse was hot, so it was being all crazy because it was in a new place. And we went back to the room, and we ordered a pizza, and we were all having fun, except me. So I was all upset and nervous. So I went over into the corner, and I grabbed my Bible, and I went back to my concordance, and I found the word faith. And I read the definition, and it had some verses to go to. And then I came across Hebrews 11, which is the Hall of Fame. And so I started reading through it, and it was saying, by faith, Noah built the ark, and so on. And later on, Dad told me to believe, and then I received. So I grabbed a sticky note out, and I wrote, by faith, I received a good show. By faith, my horse did good. By faith, I was calm. And the rest of that night, I had fun, and I was calm. And I got what I asked for the next day.
Thank you, baby. Zoe, I think about her. Zoe, you want to come up here with Daddy real quick? Come here. This is my youngest, for those of you who don't know. Come here. Boy, you look cute today. Her name is?
Zoe.
Zoe. So when you say her, say hi, Zoe. And how old are you, Zoe?
Six.
Oh, six. Okay, and so last week, you had not been feeling good, and you prayed to God before you go to bed. We pray every night, but you prayed on your own. What'd you pray?
To heal people and for people who to know God, and...
You weren't feeling good, something with your throat, and did you ask Jesus to heal your throat?
Yes.
And what happened when you wake up?
It happened.
Your throat didn't hurt?
Mm-mm.
And you ran out and told Mama?
Yes.
And that happened 3 days in a row. She's learning on her own. She asked God, Father, I ask you to heal my throat tonight so I can breathe and sleep good. And he did it. She come running out of the room. You'd have thought it was Christmas morning and Santa Claus had showed up. Love you. See, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 29, it says, according to your faith, let it be unto you. In other words, become what you believe. Now, Jesus said this to two blind men. He said this to two guys who were blind. In other words, if you can believe me for it, you can have it. He said, if you can see it, you can have it. If you can see yourself walking in the promises of God, you can have them. If you can see yourself walking in the power of God, you can have it. If you can see yourself living a life of purpose, if you can see yourself healed, then you can have, come on, victory. It's time for you to start seeing yourself living in victory. It's time to start seeing yourself successful. It's time to start seeing your marriage healthy. It's time to start seeing your body healed. It's time to start seeing your finances debt-free. It's time to start seeing yourself happy. It's time to start seeing yourself doing the same works that Jesus did and greater works. It's time to start seeing yourself seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's time to see yourself as not a second-rate citizen, but an heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus. It's time to declare, my kids are happy and humble and helpful and healthy. My kids are anointed. This is how this church was built. This is how this house was built. This is how God wants to build your house. We could see every single empty seat full by the eye of faith. God wants to move in your life, and he will show up if we step out and grab a hold of God and believe him for those things we need in our life. Can you give God praise today? You say, well, Josh, what does any of this have to do with communion? And it's very simple. Communion makes a difference when it's done right because it becomes the greatest point of contact. When we receive the bread, it represents the broken body of Jesus Christ. His body was broken so that mine doesn't have to be. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Somebody say, I'm healed. See, his flesh was torn so that his spirit could be released, and now it lives on the inside of us. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. When we receive that grape juice today, it represents the blood Jesus shed for us. And the blood Jesus shed for us is where the life is. The life is in the blood of Jesus. The life is in the blood of Jesus. There's forgiveness in the blood of Jesus. I don't care what sin you've committed, the blood of Jesus can wash your sins away. It will erase your past. It'll wipe away your shame, and it'll give you a brand new future. The blood of Jesus is why we're redeemed. It's why we're bought back. It's what has the power to break bondage in our life. It's what has the power to break addiction in our life. It's what has the power to destroy insecurity in our life, because his blood contains the DNA that gives me a new identity in him. There's protection in the blood of Jesus Christ. There is more power in one drop of the blood than all the forces of hell combined, and Satan cannot penetrate the blood. That's why in the Old Testament they applied the blood of the lamb over the doorpost of the house, and death had to pass by. In the new covenant, we apply by faith the blood of Jesus over our life. That's what communion does. And when we do it, Satan's got to pass by. Come on, somebody. You don't have to be sick or die before your time. There's power in the blood of Jesus. So communion is not a lifeless ritual. It is something that is a life-giving point of contact so that we can take another step closer into our walk with Jesus Christ. And right now, God is here to meet with us. And so here's what I want to challenge you to do. I want to challenge you right now that this morning as you take communion, I want you to reach out by faith and receive whatever it is you need. Jesus has already bought it at the cross of Calvary. It's already done. It's already yours for the asking this morning. But all you have to do is reach out by faith and receive it. Here's what I want you to do today. I'm going to pray in just a second, then we're going to take communion together. Here's what I want you to think about right now. How many of you just nod at me because your hands are full. How many of you have a need in your life? You got something going on right now. You need God to move. I bet you most of us in the room have something we need. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, that God has already given you every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You're not waiting on God. God is waiting on you. So here's your point of contact today, the cup and the bread. What do you need from God in your life right now? Jesus already paid for it. What do you need from God right now, Emma? Jesus already paid for it. What do you need from God in your life right now? Jesus already paid for it. I want you to get it on your mind. I want you to get it on your mind. And then when you take communion today, here's what I want you to do. As soon as you're finished drinking and eating, I want you to say, Father, I thank you that Jesus already paid the price for you fill in the blank, and I receive it in my life right now by faith in Jesus' name. And I want you to grab a hold of it as if it's yours today. You're not waiting for it to show up. It's already yours, just like Anna said. Amen? Let's do it. Father, we thank you today for the sacrifice of your son. I thank you, Jesus, that where we honor your sacrifice and your blood and your body broken for us, I thank you that you show up. This is a special moment. And so, Father, we come to you and we are so grateful for Jesus, what you've done for us. And Lord, we honor your blood and we honor your body and we receive it by faith. And by faith, we receive everything you bought and paid for us at the cross of Calvary. And God, I'm asking right now that you would confirm the power of the gospel, the power of the blood, the power of the broken body that you gave for us today. Confirm it, God, as we pray and we receive communion by faith, God. I pray that we would begin seeing your hand move in those areas of our life that we thought were impossible. God, move mountains and kill giants. We give you thanks and praise that it's done right now. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, you may eat the bread and drink the cup. And then I want you to thank God. I want you to thank God for what he's done. Thank God for that thing you need. Thank him that it's done. Thank him right now that Jesus already paid the price for it. We declare that you are King of Kings and you are the Lord of Lords. over our hearts, over our homes, over our minds, over our emotions, over our future, God. You're greater than our worries. You're greater than our fears. You're greater than sickness. You're greater than disease. You're greater than the devil. Father, I thank you right now that we declare your lordship over America today in the name of Jesus. We thank you that there is power in the blood today. We thank you that the devil's defeated. We thank you that we're seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above all principality and might and power and dominion and everything that's named, not only in this age, but in that which is to come. I thank you, God, that you haven't just given us a little victory, but you've given us a great victory. I thank you that addiction is defeated. I thank you that bondage is broken. In the name of Jesus, we command depression to bow its knee. We thank you, God, that we are yours and you are ours. God, we give you praise and glory in Jesus' mighty name.
If you're ever in northeastern Pennsylvania, we'd love to meet you in person. Come experience Victory Live. Victory Church is located at 645 East Main Street in Troy, Pennsylvania. You can choose a service time that's best for your needs. Sunday services are at 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. Or join us for our midweek service and all children and student ministries every Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. For more info, check us out on the web at voiceofvictory.com or get the Victory Now app for your mobile device. It's free and it's available today in your app store. If you were blessed by today's message, we would absolutely love to hear from you. You can write to us at P.O. Box 302, Troy, PA 16947. Until next time, remember, there's victory in Jesus.